All right, we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We're live and in color. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary, and coast to coast on Sportsnet. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we're going to welcome in Steve Aliquette, analyst for the New York Rangers on MSG and CEO of Clear Sight Analytics. Just one game on tap last night was the Toronto Maple Leafs in Tampa Bay, where Anthony Stolarz outdueled the great Vasilevsky to the point where I got to ask Valley first question, like,
the formerly great, potentially?
What is going on?
With old Vassie?
Yeah.
What's he
We've seen some signs in the last year where he's let in a few bad goals, but
he wasn't good when they beat him in playoffs.
Like he
was the reason they won that series.
And he was the reason why Tampa was not in that hockey game last night.
Think so?
Yeah.
Trying to find where, how many years he got left on that deal. Vasilevsky is until in the end of 2028. So he's got this season plus three more at $9.5 million.
Nobody, including me, stupid enough to write him off.
No. No way.
He's played a lot of hockey. A
lot of hockey.
A lot of hockey. Regular season play in playoffs.
Did you take any consideration last night from Tampa Bay's effort that, oh, this is also a team that got devastating hurricane where it affected a lot of their homes personally? My understanding, there might have been a Tampa Bay player with a Lamborghini underwater.
Is that right? I mean, I hadn't heard any of that.
Well, I hear things.
would you like to go ahead and make that case?
I'm just saying that a lot of distractions early for this hockey club.
Was Vasilevsky's Lamborghini underwater?
I don't think it was. Vasilevsky's Lamborghini.
You're a Tampa Bay hockey player. You'd have to drive your jet ski instead of your Lamborghini.
It could have been one of the players that maybe just recently purchased one off of a departing player who left.
No way.
His goals against average is underwater right now, that's for sure.
He got hit hard last night too, old Gensel. 878 save percentage for Vasilevsky this year. He was a 900 save percentage in 52 starts last year. So not a great year after years of 915, 960, 925, 917, 925, 920. So things last couple
Where are couple you years on, here. On the decision for Tampa Bay to go back to Ryan McDonough and make the decision to take Sergachev's $8 million off the table?
How many 5-on-5 goals Ryan McDonough has been on for this season?
Multiple.
A lot.
Many.
You're zero.
Zero.
Oh, okay. Then what? Then
yes, I like it.
Okay.
You teed it up weird.
Yeah, you teared it up weird.
I thought a ton.
How many? Yeah. He sucks. It's over.
No, he's been fine. Yeah. He's been more than fine. I mean, they're right in the back end. Hedman's good. Chernak, when he's in the lineup, is good. They're okay. Little soft the deeper you get down that list or whatever, but
what? Why did Ottawa trade Nick Paul again?
The Ottawa and Nick Paul thing was very strange because it was clear he was available. Money. They couldn't afford. God, ouch. That's so dumb. You can't get money if your team doesn't win.
It's hard to just say money because there's is it just money or is it we don't have the money or we're not willing to make the room to give you the money? Like, there's a lot of different factors here.
Sure, but
you have the money. You just chose not to give it to him or keep others, you know?
Yeah. It just was so obvious at the time that this was an effective hockey player who could help, who was at the time 25 when they got rid of him, I think. And
he's still only 29. He was traded for Matthew Joseph and a fourth-round pick.
Oh, we have an Emmy winner with us.
Oh.
All right, let's go to the Emmy winner.
Holy smokes.
Oh, it's game night.
There it is.
Oh, man, right in front of Madison Square Garden. Kip.
Looking good, pal.
In the studio tonight for the Montreal game.
How awesome is that?
All, quiet night last night. All 30 teams going at it. So that's why you're busy tonight as well. But, what are your thoughts on what you kind of watched last night between Vasilevsky and Stolarz, because it was a big part of the storyline. Yes, the Toronto Maple Leafs were better and well-deserving, but I very seldom have we watched Vasilevsky take his club right out of a hockey game as we did last night.
Yeah, it's well, it has been a little while. I don't think he played his best last year either. And going back to 2 years ago in the playoffs, almost blew it. I think that Vasilevsky, if there's one adjustment that I'd love to see him make, it's bringing his head down. Now, his head right now, it's very high. He keeps his chin up. And you guys can see me on camera as I bring my own hand underneath my face. I can't see it. And it's almost like part of the reason why I stopped playing lacrosse goalie was because the ball up there was a long distance from the puck being at ice level, and tracking a puck is completely different than tracking a lacrosse ball coming out of a stick. And to me, Vasilevsky still looks like he's playing lacrosse out there. He's got to get his head down because pucks are getting underneath him. And when we talk about tracking, that buzzword about seeing a puck, well, tracking is getting your head locked in on the puck. So it's almost like you can imagine that your eyeballs are stuck in your sockets. And the only way you can see it is if you move your head to do so.
Right.
And you've got to drop your jaw to be able to see those pucks that are coming underneath you. And if you don't, you're either going to get beat or you're going to be sloppy on a rebound. And then you're going to be late and have massive delay and first movement out of that shot. It really hinders everything in the process for the goalie. And for some reason, Vasilevsky's been stubborn with his head position. He's got to degree his head down.
Valley, is there a danger now because these goalies are 6'4", 6'6", that it's just a natural progression to look over people in their net when there's a scrum out in front, and that automatically pulls you up even more?
It's a great point, Kipper, and I can tell you've been paying attention to goaltending this season. You're looking for this stuff. And no, it is. It's an issue because if you get too high, the puck comes under you. And for every inch in movement that you waste going up, you lose it going east and west. And now you've lost your explosiveness. That's a big piece to what we're talking about when we talk about tracking the puck. And of course, you must be able to track the pass. If you can do those two things, you can have a night like Shesterkin had in Toronto on Saturday.
Yeah, looking pretty decent. So at the other end of the ice last night from Vasilevsky was Stolarz. 5 starts so far, and he's been really good for them. So in the Leafs hour, Kip says, you know, all I want to know is, like, why hasn't it happened yet for this guy? Why is where?
I've got the best story for you, Barney.
Okay. Yeah.
Where's he been, Valley? Let us know.
Oh, guys, you think I'm not working the phones before I come on this show? All right. So made some calls on Stolarz because I'm feeling the same way. I love the guy's game. I've been saying that since the first day. So I find out that he has a knee injury in 17-18 season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't rehabilitate well. And that's around the same time Carter Hart comes on the scene and Philadelphia chooses just to move on from him. He ends up in Edmonton. Edmonton, they have the same issue. The leg is not rehabbing. You can look at his 2016-17 season. He plays 4 games, 3 in the East Coast League, 1 in the American League.
Right.
Barely plays for the next 2 seasons. And when he's in Edmonton, it doesn't go well. And they choose to kick him to the curb. Now, Edmonton doesn't have a great reputation with goalies, so keep that with an asterisk. Now, I find out that when Anaheim signs him, they visit him in New Jersey, and one of his legs, the injured one, is a third of the diameter of the healthy one. He had essentially been playing on one leg for 2 years. They were in shock. They brought him into Anaheim, rehabilitated his leg back up, and then he, you can imagine, had 2 healthy legs that he has been playing on now for the last 4 seasons. Look at his numbers. His numbers speak for itself. I mean, this guy's got a very impressive hockey DB. And I've heard amazing stories about his character, his family growing up. And it just all comes back in aces for this guy. So the only thing we don't know is, can he handle the pressure cooker? And it's going to get hard at some point during the season. And we know there's a lot of voices that can enter. And hopefully he can handle that. But it was really neat hearing the background of him and hearing people just rave about his work ethic and how he really got screwed over to a certain degree by 2 organizations.
Wow. That's fascinating.
Valley, when you kind of signed him to the thought that Joseph Woll was going to get the first crack at taking this, and Stolarz can hopefully come in with maybe 30 games, and it doesn't work out that way. And now Joseph Woll's on the outside looking in. How much pressure is on the organization to still go, okay, let's not completely deviate from the plan here, because there's 82 games, but there's only a handful that you can go or signature games or games that mean something. Ranger Saturday night, Tampa.
Saturday night was a signature game.
Not Columbus. Not necessarily LA coming in on the road for forever. And like, how does a team still now think the mentality? Because also the fact that he signed to $11 million contract for 3 years, you cannot deviate off of that either for Joseph Woll and the Leafs. So where does his start now play into where this moves forward for both Joseph Woll and Stolarz?
Well, you know what, Kipper? I would start with saying that don't you think Stolarz picked the Leafs for a reason?
Yeah.
They have a chance to win. This is the best decor the Mariners, Matthews, Nylander era has seen. And he knows he can play. He knows he just wasn't healthy. Imagine the doctor coming in and saying, your leg is a third of the diameter of the other one. Like, what are we talking about? If you don't have your legs and your core as a goalie, you're useless. And he knows, I'm telling you, this guy knows, like, I'm good. And you can put me up against anybody, but I want to be on this team in this market where everybody can see it. Mm-hmm. And I think Woll, you know what? It's not the worst thing for him, because he'll have a slow burn into the season and he'll get his nice starts when he wants them. And hopefully, for God's sakes, he could stay healthy. You know, but I don't, you know, we don't know, guys. I mean, we only know what we have in the past seen with him. And that's the only predictor of what's going to happen in the future health-wise.
So, Valley, I know you have your own analytics company and the way that you look at these goaltenders, you know, it's an interesting mix of who's been great in the league this year. Stolarz has been great, but then, you know, other names like Shesterkin and Hellebuck, who we've heard of, you know, we know of as stars in the league, have been good. What have you seen from some of the best guys? Who have you liked around the league so far this year?
You know what, boys? I'll start with my favorite newcomer, Dustin Wolf and Blomqvist in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I watched his first game, and it was against Detroit. And if you guys remember that in the first weekend of the season, he has like five or six grade A saves where you're just like, where did this guy come from? And, you know, you learn a little bit about his past, and he's a second rounder, and he's got a great history in Pittsburgh playing in Wilkes-Barre, et cetera. But, man, I think his game's nice, as well as Wolf, too. So he comes in at the number 10 goalie. By the way, nobody has faced a worse environment than the Pittsburgh goalies so far this year. Right. They've faced the highest degree of scoring chances, which is a big reason why Jari's going through it, too. If they don't tighten up for him, you know, maybe Blomqvist gets exposed a little bit too, because he's a young guy. But Alex Lyon is still playing at a top 10 netminder, and he's been an interesting story because he's always been able to come through as an underdog. So right now we have him ranked ninth. And then it's Sam Montembeau, and we have Sam here playing against the Rangers tonight. A very good goalie in screens last year. He, in fact, had the best save percentage on screens in the NHL last season. But in his last start on the 17th, he gave up three long goals against LA. So for what it's worth, Sorokin, your guy Sorokin is back, Borny. He's back.
Good.
And then Lankinen, we've got Sorokin right now at number seven. And Lankinen, six. And then rounding out the top five, Gustavsson. He's really shored up his game. And you remember 2 years ago, came on the scene, guns a-blazing, has a bad year last year. It makes me always wonder why it's so year to year with every goalie. I feel the same way you guys do. I'm in the mix with this all day, every day, and I'm not coming up with any better answers as to why we can have an on-year and an off-year be so wildly different. And that's what happened to him last year. I watched a lot of video on him last year, and he's doing a lot of what a lot of goalies in the league are doing right now, which is sitting in their reverse VH when the puck is not a threat at the net. And then the puck goes to the slot. Like, if I'm playing in the NHL right now, do you know what I'm doing? I want to make sure that I know exactly when every goalie goes down, because they all hit the deck at some point. Yeah. And they're doing, in some cases, like Vasilevsky last night, you could see Toronto going to the corner, and he's down on his knees. Right. And I can tell you a quick story, and I'll get back to this list. When I was coaching right out of retirement, the goalie whisperer for New York that found Lundqvist, he got in touch with me and started sending me some guys, and I would house them at my house for a couple weeks. One of them was Daniel Gibble, and this was a guy that played for the Barry Colts. He's a Czech goalie. He was a really good prospect. He had an eye issue. He didn't pan out. But I'll never forget it. It was around 2011-12. The reverse was just starting, okay? So we're on the ice in the summertime. We're in Connecticut on the ice, and he's showing me all this back-and-forth movement on his knees. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't see it working. You got to be on your feet. How are you going to beat the pass? You're going to beat it on your knees? And he goes, don't you ever watch floorball? And I'm like, I have no idea.
Literally, no.
You guys seen floorball before?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
Hysterical. So we get into the video room and he starts YouTubing floorball, and he was a floorball goalie. And he's like, the technique in floorball is you stay down the whole time. He's on his knees. He almost looks like, you know, he looks quadriplegic. He's kind of like just going around. Right. And I'm like, what is he doing? And he's telling me, like, this is exactly how I played floorball growing up, and which is why I'm now doing this as, you know, a prospect. And with that, and I think I've told you guys about the success Bobrovsky had the first year doing it, where he didn't get scored on, so that anybody else cheated off of him. But the problem with this move right now is the pucks that are going to slot from below the goal line. Everybody's down and nobody knows how to track the pass. You have to have a violent head if you're going to be a good goalie, all right? And because we're on YouTube and on TV, you guys can see me here, but I'm really like bringing my head hard mm-hmm. as soon as that pass comes. And then what would happen is I'd get a big separation, about a foot and a half off my post, so then I can also gain the rest of my ice and be aggressive in my crease. But most goalies, as Kipper said earlier, are just picking up their head. And then they get stuck and they can't move. And there's wide open space on the far side of the net. And I feel like that's why goal scoring is up right now. It's because players have finally figured out how to abuse the goalies, not just on the reverse VH for bad goals against, but passing when they're down in the reverse VH.
So what you're saying is the bad goals that we've seen in the first 2 weeks will continue.
Look, we've seen an alarming amount of bad goals, and most of which are from the dead angle. And that's why, Kipper, it's not a good look, because those have a smell to them. The ones from the dead angle are the Georgiev ones. He's already given up four.
Eesh.
Now, right, so the dead angle, just to describe it, it's imagine if you had a magic marker and you went to your post and then you went all the way to the bottom of the hash marks where it meets the boards. You really get a big section slice of ice in the corner there. And right now there have been 10 goals in the first 2 weeks of the season scored clean from there. It's a bad number.
Yeah.
Now, the real issue for me is not knowing when to get in and out of it. And the problem a lot of goalies are having, specifically Georgiev, is that when the puck is getting close to that line, he's getting beat in transition. He's on his way down, and he's trying to get into it, but the puck's on its way. It's being delivered, and it's catching him off guard. And that's the real issue. It's not knowing when to get in, when to overlap. I think goalies would be a lot better off if in the gray area where it hasn't really crossed the line and got deep in a dead angle, just overlap the post and play it like you would if you were Patrick Waugh in the 90s, early 2000s, and just get a big body on it.
Mm-hmm. Valley, did we get through your list of the 10 best goalies in the year?
Oh, we're going to go to number four.
All right.
Bullock. But we're skipping it until playoffs. Number three, Shesterkin. Number two, Ottinger.
Yeah.
And number one, Anthony Stolarz.
Wow. Yeah, Leafs fans not used to hearing
that. I'm telling you, man, you got the best net in Canada right now.
That's bizarre to hear.
So where would Swayman be with his holdout and the ultimate cost of not being there to start, and where that kind of lines up with Boston's start this season?
So Swayman is even money right now, but he was the second best goalie in the NHL last year. Playoffs, second best. Shesterkin was number one. So Swayman's been a top guy. Yeah. And the thing with Swayman right now is that, boys, it's so difficult to get your footing on a season as you're jumping on that moving train. I don't have to explain that to you. It's awful. It's just like coming back from an injury mid-season. You're trying to drink out of a fire hose. So the issue that Boston's having, and I sent Sammy McKee a note on this earlier today, if they continue to play the way they're playing, forget about the impact on Swayman, they miss the playoffs this year. They are not. Their record is so much better than how they're playing right now.
Really?
They are so lucky to even have, what is it, two wins that they have? Are they two wins or three wins? They have the fewest amount of scoring chances, you guys. They have 25, like, grade A chances this year. 25. They've scored on 12, which is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You never score on almost half of them. That's not going to sustain itself. It just never does. They go in one every three times. They have five bad goals. They've had five low-danger goals. They've scored five bad ones. That's the most in the NHL. But they've been really creating zero offense. So they got a lot bigger in the offseason on D, right? Zadorov. And you look at their D, too. Lowry, 6'5". Lindholm, 6'4". Zadorov, 6'6". Peak, 6'3". They've got trees back there. So they're really good at protecting the net front. But they're struggling on keeping their sticks in lanes on the east-to-west plays, and they're getting killed. They're 30th off the odd man rushes. So I don't see them with what they're giving up. And this is a team last year. Odd man rush, they're 30th in the league right now. Last year, they were 5th. And I've talked to you guys about this a lot. If you're a top five team at protecting your goalies off the rush, you're a cup contender. And, in fact, that's where the Rangers are right now. So I don't see Boston. And you know who's really jumping off the page for me is Ottawa. But, you know, I'm listening to your show yesterday, Kipper, and you're giving me some feedback on what's going on with Allmark. What doctor was he getting advice from? Dr. Seasonoff? What are we talking about? What are we talking about?
Oh, well,
I think we just heard he's not available tonight.
Night off.
Dr. Night off.
Dr. Night off.
What are we doing? Hey, I told you guys, and I'm not exaggerating, that's why I didn't want to be a goalie coach. I couldn't deal anymore. It's just not the way it was.
Yeah.
Everybody's so freaking soft.
fair enough. So for next week, are we going to get the worst goalies, or what are we doing next week?
Yeah, so we're going to go bad goalies next week.
We are.
But I'll give you a little teaser. Who do you think the worst is right now?
Oh, God, I love it.
I would have gone Gorgiev, but you just shredded him already. I'm scared to bring his name up again.
It is. It's Gorgiev.
Yeah.
And the second worst performing goalie so far is Stuart Skinner, and that therein lies the problem with what has Edmonton in a really tough spot.
Well, we shall see tonight. 64 goalies added tonight.
Yeah, I guess.
16 games. Oh, my staff loves these nights.
Oh, not fun, huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
You're going to
it's a tough night for the boys, for sure.
Real busy. As always, my friend, excellent stuff.
Thanks, Valley. Appreciate you, buddy. Have a great broadcast tonight.
Fellas, I'm listening, so I'm going to stay up on my notes, and I'll talk to you guys again next week.
Listen, I know you're not an insider, but how long can Rangers go without giving Shesterkin what he wants right now?
Hey, Kipper, I'll tell you what. Before the game Saturday night, I said to my co-host there, John Giannone, who does a brilliant job, I was like, John, here's what's going to happen. He's going to go out there like he did in his Vezina season to make a name for himself. He knows how big this moment is. He's going to get first star, and he's going to sign tomorrow. I was right on the first part. But you know what? I also wonder about this, too, and I'm not kidding. I mean, okay, so I've talked to Hank about this because Hank was in negotiations for big money, and he insured himself, you know.
Really?
You insure yourself up to the number that you might be trying to negotiate. So there is a little bit of, you don't have to worry so much about the injury or there being an injury, because you can insure yourself up to the money that you anticipate signing for. So there's that piece. So that one makes me feel like, okay, I guess you could go a little bit longer if he chose to. But the other piece is playing well. And once again, I believe that he believes in himself the way that I'm telling you Stolarz believes in himself. And you don't become one of those top-tier guys if you don't have that deep, deep, deep belief.
Just tough, but, Valley, all the best guys are signing for 825. Like, he's the best goalie in the league, but can you say you're $4 million better? Well,
and then here's the other side, Borny, that I think's just wacky. Okay, man, what do you want? 12, 13, 14? Then you got to win a Vezina and a cup this year. The only way you're getting it. So, I'd be happy to have the 11 if I was him.
Okay.
Is that going without saying?
just one more on Shesterkin, okay? Because everything that I heard was that he is the most valuable player on the New York Rangers, not Panarin, and he needs and deserves more money than Panarin's older contract.
Fair.
With the percentages of whatnot. But statistically, with your analytics, is it an easy sell for him to say, I am the most valuable player on this team, statistically?
Yeah, so what a goalie can provide is goals off the ledger. And during his season, his MVP season, his Vezina season, he stopped 28 more goals than an average NHL goalie. So what does 28 goals do for you during a regular season, Kipper? It's a lot of goals.
8 points. I don't know, six, eight more. Points, 10.
There you go. Like, that's what I mean. And so Panarin, 120 points last year. How many of his multi-point games became Ranger wins? I mean, you can do some math on that. I haven't done that exercise, but it looks like I got some homework for next week.
As always,
after
my friend.
After I get in touch with Allmark's doctor, yeah. Dr. Seasonoff.
Good luck getting a hold of him overseas. I think he's Russian.
Great stuff, pal. Have a great call tonight, okay?
All right, see you, fellas.
Yeah, thanks, pal. Okay.
Who the Rangers got tonight?
Habs. Sam Montembeau.
Montreal.
I got to tell you, Dr. Seasonoff is laugh out loud funny.
Oh,
that got me pretty good.
Depends if you're an Ottawa fan or not.
No, I thought it's funny.
It's not
then.
Funny at all.
Yeah. That could be the line of the year so far. It's early, but let's give him the win on that one.
quick note: during the time you guys are talking to Valley, Paul Maurice signed a contract extension with the Florida Panthers.
God, you know how many years?
I think two.
What a love to negotiate that one for.
Fresh off a cup, so living in easy. Florida.
Yeah, that's a tough one too.
But the thing is, Paul's not looking to grind anyone at that point. He's having a pretty good time down there.
Oh no, you're grinding.
Think so?
Oh, there's no better time. Here's the Stanley Cup,
multi-year contract.
I'll fill it in. Yeah. No salary cap. Escrow.
What do you think? What would the number be,
buddy? I'd be very disappointed if it's not close to $5.5 or $6 million.
Babs made $6.5 million. How can you not be worth that? Right?
Yeah.
But I know coaches don't make that now. Like, I think the highest paid guys are 5.5 or whatever. But if you're Maurice, you're obviously
It did kind of pull back a little bit, I think. Mm. The market kind of plateaued the last few years. But I think he was in a position to take it to another level. But, you know, it's Florida. No state tax, cost of living. I'm sure he did the math here to say that Babs 6.5 in Toronto is still 5 and change here.
I bet she's 5.5.
Yeah. Oh, good for him.
Glad we just decided what he got paid.
Good for him.
Yep. Way to go, Paul.
I mean,
way to go, Paul.
Well deserved.
Way to go, Paul. I
haven't heard that in a while.
Take a break and then do game time.
You got, you're the producer.
Anything off Valley that you wanted to talk about? Anthony Stolarz is the best goalie in the league. Is that something that's interesting to you guys?
Yeah, well, interesting.
Can I remind you guys?
A lot too.
This is like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Can
no
I
games.
No, do not.
Can
no,
I can calm you down a little
no
bit?
No games into the season. He's been awesome.
Take a chill pill.
Like I said, if the season was 6 games long, Brad Treliving would have had the greatest offseason of all time.
Yeah. Matthew Tkachuk's back for Florida as well tonight.
Nice.
He's missed 5 games with illness.
Oh,
not sure.
All right, you want to go to break? We'll go to break, and then we'll come back with game time and more news and notes.
The most popular game ever, true or false, maybe returning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I came up with a few questions for you guys.
Okay, I got to psych myself up for that. Okay, break. More Real Kipper and Bourne after these words.
Everything you need to know about the Raptors and the biggest stories around the NBA. Smith and Jones. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. News and notes coming up, but first, Sammy, a little game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So, few things for tonight. One that I talked myself into in our first hour. Nick Robertson goal tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets pays plus 375. Let me double check that. I think it's plus 375.
Okay.
Love that tonight. This is the night. Nick Robertson night is tonight. I could even see him getting two, but one is plus 375.
Okay.
You got something to say?
Yeah, just, again, Craig Berube keeping things fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Going to take Camp out of the lineup.
Put Reeves in.
I like the idea that people who have been, like, permanent fixtures are not necessarily permanent.
Remember how big a deal we made when David Camp was scratched last year? We made a big deal of that. Yeah. That was Sheldon Keefe's like accountability thing.
Right.
So, and Berube is like, yeah, the second half activity.
It's always
no
nice.
One cares.
Yeah. It's always nice for any coach to do that when the team's winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree with that. It's not like as a response to some negativity. Yep. Negativity. It's like you haven't been good enough. Holmberg, though, stays in, eh?
Yeah. Likes Holmberg. The other couple things I have for tonight, love a Connor Bedard anytime goal against his hometown team, the Vancouver Canucks, who are visiting Chicago. And I'm going to ride the hot hand with Ross Colton, second in the league in goals, I think. 6 goals already this year.
Jeez.
Plus 260, playing on the top line with the big boys there in Colorado. Give me a Ross Colton goal tonight. And the NBA gets underway tonight. 2 games, Knicks, Celtics, and I think Lakers and Minnesota. Give me Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to win the NBA's MVP at plus 450 this season. He's going to have a wonderful year. Thunder are going to be one of the best teams in the league.
All right.
And he's a good Canadian boy. So plus 450, SGA MVP. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Good job, Sam.
Thank you.
Kucherov leads the league in goals at 7.
Colton's 6, right?
Didn't get one last night.
What a fake pass into the middle for old point, though.
Yeah. Panarin's at 6. Cole Caulfield's a nice...
He's firing it in.
Nice number at 6 as well for the Montreal Canadiens. Sam Reinhart is a name that's very familiar to 50 and 60 goal scoring in the National Hockey League, but Connor Bedard, considered a slow start?
Yeah. Was he 1 goal, 5 assists, or 6 assists? I think he has 7 points, doesn't he?
But...
Yeah, seven points in 6 games.
You don't want to see 1.
No. Expectations for him this year, I was on a panel where people did point predictions, and a couple people said 100 points. I may or may not have been one of them. So, yeah, maybe a little bit slower than expected.
He's over a point a game.
What's that?
He's over a point a game.
Yeah, he's on pace for 90 points.
They'll start going in for him starting tonight.
Yeah, but generational players tend to, in the second and third season, to take off.
Uh-huh. You're anti-Bedard.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm not done.
What about his shifts this year, Kipper?
Maybe not sold.
Are we completely sold that this guy just won't end up being a superstar? That he will be one of the greatest in this modern day? I'm not completely over the top saying that this guy will end up having a career comparable to
Connor McDavid
or Crosby.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are tough.
Yeah. Like in your defense, you're setting a bar of like, is he this?
Yes.
In his first full season.
Is he one of the 10 best players ever?
So in Connor's first year, 2015-2016, he had 48 points in 45 games because he was hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His second year has put a full 82-game season. He had 100 points in 82 games, 30 goals, 70 assists, and then he's played a lot.
I think 30 and 7 for Bedard would be off the charts.
30 and 70? Oh, yeah.
I'm just not sure he can get there with that team or necessarily, he's physically ready for that just yet.
Connor's 12 points away from 1,000.
What's that?
Connor
McDavid? By the way, Connor Bedard was minus 44 last year.
Oh, my God. That's a tough hole to dig out of to start a career.
Career-wise, I don't know if you ever...
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, when you're that.
What's he now this year?
Plus 2.
Yeah. Oh, he's starting.
Yeah.
And good for him.
Going the right direction. Minus 42 career.
Wanted to ask you guys about the Tampa power play.
Yeah.
It's off to a slow start. Mm-hmm. It's worse than the Leafs somehow. I would say it's different without Stamkos. And I know that's a very obvious thing to say.
I felt at the rink last night, I felt no Stamkos for Tampa Bay.
Me too. Watching, I felt it. It's weird to watch them without it, and especially that power play, because it worked with the threat of that clapper off the left hash, and it just wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. It is, and it, you know, I can't help doing the Leafs hour that we do. It does sort of bring it around to the Leafs, where it's like, they haven't really had that threat. Matthews doesn't have that shot.
No.
He doesn't have the big one-timer. Like, their power play doesn't have a shot from the top. Doesn't really have a big shot threat. And it does change things when the PK is always going, we just know we can't let it go there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And Jake Guentzel is a terrific hockey player and one of the top wingers in the game.
That's the biggest butt setup I've ever heard.
The butt is, there just isn't a presence mm-hmm. like Stamkos had
Stamkos
on that team. I know.
Yeah,
and there's a void there.
Yeah.
And it's not an easy one to fill, even though you replaced it with a younger, you know, talented player.
Probably equal point getter at this point.
But the void, the one I felt last night at the game and Sammy's referring to now, isn't an easy one to fix.
No, it's not. But I do wonder if that void would have been felt even if he was still around. You know, I know he still scored goals last year, but you're going to get this decline from Stamkos sort of inevitably at this point of his career. But no, I know what you guys mean. It is one of the major threats they had that they don't have. Still, they're not the 30th or 27th best power play in the league. They're going to be the top 10.
They were snapping it around still last night. It just felt like they were missing the finishing touch
that's
been there for...
Well, they have been the perfect piece.
Yes.
They have been a, you know, out-of-the-box, by design, best power play possible.
Because it's like, Kucherov's going to shoot it. No, he's going to pass it right to the hardest shot in the league.
Right, and Hedman and point in the middle, yada, yada.
All right, boys. Let me do some true or false time.
I think I do want to do that.
Okay. I'll start with this one. True or false? 6 Canadian teams will make the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Such a high number. So only Montreal out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. False, 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 false.
Yeah, false.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's answer the question he's asking.
Yeah.
Which are the ones?
Calgary.
Calgary's not getting in.
I still don't see them coming in.
I don't see them getting in either. I got called. I actually had people adding Sportsnet, like Greg Sansoni gets those messages or something. It's like, this guy.
This guy's in. He's out to lunch.
You seen this? Yeah. But no, I don't think Calgary gets in.
And
How many?
Is Vancouver.
5. Ottawa and Winnipeg.
Is Vancouver a lock for you?
Mm.
Yes. Not for you.
I don't know where the goalie is.
Lankinen. Lankinen is the goalie of the future.
He's hanging it with Dr. Seasonoff.
Okay. All right. Lankinen's going to lock them in for sure.
He is.
Okay.
And Demko didn't die.
Yeah. Yep. So, we'll see.
Listen, you're out until you're back in.
I like that attitude.
Okay.
Yep.
That was a pretty quick one. Easy. Here's one for you. John Tortorella will finish the season as the head coach of the Flyers. True or false?
Great one, Sam. Flyers, where are they? First thing you have to ask is, what are expectations for the Flyers? Did they expect to make the playoffs this year? And I think the answer is no.
Mm.
Right?
I mean, they were pretty close last year with a worse team.
My expectations are a top 5 pick at the draft.
That's what you were going into this season? That's what you thought they would be?
That they would be 25th or 26th mm-hmm. best team in the league.
They are... 1-3-1, -8 goal differential. I just look at that lineup, and I know that owners don't often look at their lineup and go, well, we just had a stinky team, mm-hmm. you know, and blame the GM or whatever. That doesn't happen very much. Easier to change the coach, but
take a look at what
Brink and Farabee and Paling and Kate. Well,
take a look at what Philly has at the draft table coming up.
Okay.
Like, it's good.
It's good.
3 first rounders.
How do you look that up right now?
I got it right.
You know how to do that? No, I don't know how to do that. Though, cap friendly.
Oh, I you know, cap wages.
Cap wages.
They got cap wages right now.
Okay,
it's cap friendly replica.
A boatload of first and second rounders.
Next year or this upcoming draft, they have Philly's first, Colorado's first, Edmonton's first, and in the second round, Philly's second, Anaheim second, Columbus second. 6 picks in the first 2 rounds. This
3
year.
And 3.
Really?
3 first rounders, 3 second rounders.
He's there. Loaded with picks. They got
loaded.
All their, they have every pick of theirs for the next 3 years.
That's the way it should be when you stink.
And they have 2 top bottom 10 teams in the league in the first round picks, Colorado and Edmonton, too. So they could be really good picks.
And to come full circle on your true and false question,
yes,
Tortorella ain't going anywhere.
So very
unless
true.
John Tortorella wants to go somewhere.
Okay. Losing's not fun. Maybe
this guy, he's tied right to the top.
Okay. To Jones and Briere and
past.
Dave Comcast.
Hey, this guy's getting free cable.
Whoever the owner of the Flyers is.
Do you get free cable cover? Anyways,
no, not here.
True or false?
They do help.
Sam Bennett will sign a long-term contract with the Florida Panthers.
True.
Okay.
I'll say false. I'll say false.
Why?
Only. Well, are they just going to give eight-year contracts to all the guys they won cups with and expect no one's going to decline? They're going to get the same?
Yeah.
Like, you think Sam Bennett's going to keep smashing through people?
Yes.
What's he going to cost? $8 million a year?
Sure.
Eight times eight is $64 million to Sam Bennett?
7 years, that contract's going to look no problem in 7 years.
His best buddies.
6 years.
I admit to just wanting to disagree on something a little bit here.
I heard he's best buddies with Anthony Stolarz and Oliver Ekman-Larsson. They're already passing him. You know, it's Toronto. It's not as bad as you once thought. God, he'd be beloved here. My God. He would be. They'd have a statue of him on Legends Row.
I know he's from here, but you want to go to the rink.
No, you want to
flip flops, or you want to go in boots.
There's no question. On a golf cart and go play 36 after practice.
Did you you watch some of that Amazon doc and see Tkachuk's?
I got to tell you, I don't want to crap on it, but I had a tough time getting through some of it. But
yeah, not going to say it was a thrill ride. Yeah. But
you know what? Amazon just needed more hockey people in the editing room, I think, because I bet you some good stuff ended up on the floor. And
the best things we've ever seen documentary-wise were the Road to the Winter Classic, and you had the drama of the teams winning and losing and going with them to this eventual conclusion rather than, like, kind of getting to know people, which felt like this. So the Tkachuk one, though, tough to look at his life in Calgary and then see him driving a golf cart to the rink in Florida and not be like,
you know what? That's probably a good tough
one for the Canadian teams.
I think I made a good decision.
Yeah.
So, true. And you just said false, just be different.
Just being contrarian.
True or false?
The Flyer one we're still on?
No.
Which one?
Sam Bennett.
Oh, Sam Bennett.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. So, true or false? Somebody other than Connor McDavid will lead the league in points.
False.
Can't see it.
Okay.
Can't see it. You know what kind of bad year Connor has to have to not win?
But, dude, Cooch had 44 and 100 last year. He had 144 points.
And he's up hot start.
He needs to... You know, if McDavid gets hurt for a week, it's tough to keep up with that.
He's not doing that again. That's just a...
Cooch isn't doing that again?
No.
Yeah,
that one was off the charts.
I do...
120 is fine. 125.
Yeah, he could be 120.
Those numbers...
Yeah, you're right. No, McDavid's the guy. He's the guy. Unless you're betting on him to get hurt.
This is looking down the road a little bit here. True or false? Auston Matthews will lead America to victory at the Four Nations Faceoff.
True.
Oh, you are a bad patriot. False.
Yeah, you're just... Can we just see the lineup first?
Okay.
Here's the lineup.
Okay.
Hellebuck, Demko, Ottinger.
Not Demko.
Okay. Hellebuck, Ottinger. There's like five from
Stolarz.
Stolarz.
Okay.
You're the backup.
Who's the goalie?
Montembeau.
Aiden Hill, cup winner.
And Aiden Hill.
Go in the cup. I actually think it, you know, not to do Toronto stuff in the national, but the only team that played.
Never stopped you before.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the perceptions of, you know, for example, Marner, who you say is the way he's looked upon in this market. He's going to play for Team Canada. He's on Team Canada. He is a lock for Team Canada.
Bubble guy.
Okay.
No way. He is a lock.
Listen.
So, but like, if he's great for Team Canada, how will that do for his perception here?
Okay, first of all.
This guy's just being such a...
bubble guy, Marner.
He's going to be playing under this second line.
You know who's going to pick Marner?
Crosby and McDavid. No, Crosby and McKinnon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Just spent like a week with them before. What do you think the conversations were?
Yeah, he's on the team.
He's on the team. Hey, but
buddied his way in.
So the better question is, true or false, Mitch Marner leads Team Canada to glory at the Four Nations faceoff.
True or false, Nate McKinnon was recruiting come July.
Oh, boy. True. 100%
true. 100% true.
No question.
Well, recruiting, what does that mean? Asking him to come? Like, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
What did you guys think? Mitch gets to pick yes or no?
No.
Well, if he's a free agent. If he's a free agent,
he
literally
does. Okay, to the Avs, not team Canada.
No,
yeah.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yes. Sure.
Breaking. Good player wants other good player on his team. Yeah. Good players want to be on the same team.
No. Crosby loves Marner.
Yeah. Do you want to get yelled at every time you have like a carb? Playing with McKinnon would be such a drag. Anyways, what else do I have here? This is a couple more Leaf ones. I don't want to get too bad. Utah Hockey Club makes the playoffs in their first season in the NHL. True or false?
I guess I'm feeling spicy today. Like, no, I just, I'm actually kind of like...
They're still the Coyotes to me, damn it!
Well, I'm just like a little... Everyone's like very excited about Utah, and I still look at their roster, and I'm like, I don't know. Clayton Keller is your captain. And
I really like him.
I like him, so I didn't mean that to be a Keller thing, but like, I go through their lineup, and it says... Okay, Cruz and McBain, Krause, McBain, Kerfoot, Stenlund, Yamamoto.
Flexi.
Palamaki, Bortuzzo. I don't know. Like, I'm just not as sold as everyone else on Utah.
I'm not sure about their goaltending either. But, Durzi's out.
Long term.
That hurts.
When is the Liljegren to Utah announcement?
He's a great fit, for their... Right shot D.
They need
third pair guy they could use.
There's no reason to do it now.
Well, I don't know. They have Vladislav Klyachanok.
Unless the team wants to overpay, there's just no reason right now.
No reason for the Leafs to do it.
Yes.
They don't need the space. He's a good depth guy to have. Unless the team wants to overpay.
All right, last one. True or false, Anthony Stolarz receives Vezina votes.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Oh, that's the exact reaction. Speaking of fishing.
Yeah.
Well, career year?
Yeah.
The finalists are going to be Lankanen, Stolarz, and Wolf.
I love doing this show.
Or is there like a middle? Is there a possibility? Maybe.
No, you got
true
a maybe or false?
No.
True or false?
I'm playing the percentages, so I'll say false.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
All right, so tonight is the Frozen Frenzy 16 teams. Gaz and I are on the TV with DA, and we were asked to draft our most interesting games from tonight. Just a little list of what you're in for. Tampa Bay, New Jersey, pretty good game.
Yeah.
Not too shabby. Colorado's got Seattle, Carolina, Edmonton. Toronto's got Columbus. Let's look for Canadian teams. Vancouver has Chicago.
That's
Ottawa, Utah.
Like I like Vancouver, Chicago. Love watching Bedard.
Calgary, Pittsburgh.
So what's,
great jersey match.
What's the deal
elite.
Now? There's the first puck drops like in 5 minutes, isn't it?
6:45, 6:30.
Six p.m.
Oh, it is.
And then
okay.
What? Mitchkov versus Ovechkin.
Is it like?
Yes.
Is it?
Great.
Fine.
Yeah, I got it.
Yep. Is it like sitting at a bar and telling the waiter, bring me a beer every 7 minutes, kind of puck drop?
Just keep going.
Well, you remember last year, the Leafs were in the first game on Frozen Frenzy. Oh. They played the Caps in the very first game. Remember, we did the show, and then we ran out of here.
And I did a 15-team parlay, and I went 13 for 13, and then had it ripped away from me in the last minutes for $31,000.
So is this like the only time of the year? Is this the only time of the year this happens, all 32 teams
this
going?
This is it. There's a few times where 30 teams play. This
but
is
why,
the only.
Why now? Why like? Why do you go from one game to like all of them?
I think they ticked the NBA head on. They said, it's your opening night. Watch this.
Oh, that's a bad move.
Disagree.
Does anybody like the Knicks or Celtics or Lakers?
Does anyone like Utah, Ottawa?
Oh, true or false?
I'm excited about it. Anyway, we're on TV next.
Okay, our thanks to Jody Shelley in our first hour of our Leaf Edition show. And then Steve Aliquette, if you're just catching us right now, download us because he had some fascinating stuff. Enjoy your 16 games tonight. And we're back here tomorrow to talk all about them on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.